Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
BBC has announced three new presenters of the iconic Match of the Day following Gary Lineker's decision to step down after 25 years. Gabby Logan, Mark Chapman and our guest this morning, Kelly Cates, are the new hosts. Kelly was in Dublin this week to help launch the Ladies Gaelic Football National League campaign and she's on the line. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
And congratulations, Kelly. This is a big moment.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, it's really exciting. We've all been kind of chatting about it and we're just so thrilled and can't wait to get going in August.
It was probably television's worst kept secret though, wasn't it? So there must be a relief element to be finally revealed as one of the iconic new hosts of Match of the Day.
Oh, I can't tell you. Honestly, I've realized in the past couple of weeks that I am the worst liar in the world and I feel so guilty every time I talk to anybody, and it's even people I know quite well are saying, oh, is it happening? And I'm like, well, no, I know there's a lot of rumors about it, but you know, there's nothing happening. And it's just, I just don't know, I'm not very good at it. I could never have a double life.
Wouldn't be a very good spy.
Now, I'd be terrible.
Football fans will know you well from Sky Sports. And the surprising element to this is you're actually going to continue at Sky.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to try and do both. I think because the three of us are working on Match of the Day, it makes it a little bit more manageable. Mm-hmm. But it's lovely to have the kind of the highlights and to be part of something as iconic as Match of the Day, and also keep that kind of live football element as well, which is brilliant, because I've loved working at Sky. So it's nice that I'm getting the chance to do both.
So you'll be live, you get all of that nervousness and energy, and then you get to do the highlights programme where we can all sit back.
I don't know which I'll be more nervous for, to be honest.
But it's a truly historic position to have in broadcasting, isn't it? You go back to previous presenters, Jimmy Hill, Des Lynam, David Coleman, and of course, the outgoing Gary Lineker.
Yeah, it's incredible when you look back on it. I mean, Jimmy Hill was the first one from when I was young. And then obviously Des is just an icon and is just, you know, the most incredible broadcaster. And then Gary taking over, who's been there for 25 years and incredible. Is just so much part of people's lives. I think he's just, you know, knit himself into the fabric of the country. So look, for the three of us, because we're going to be sharing the role, there isn't that same intensity and focus on us. But it, you know, we are very, very aware that we're part of something that's been going for 60 years and that we're part of something that people really care about. And also that, you know, this is who presents it really is not the most important part of it. The important part of it is the football. And, you know, and equally as important as that is the viewers and making sure that they have what they want from the programme as well. So we're not reinventing the wheel, but we're just jumping on the train maybe.
I know you say the presenter may not be important for your point of view, but if it goes wrong, if the choice is wrong, you'll notice it then.
True.
And you,
yeah, thanks
you
have, for that.
But you've lots of experience because you were in Sky Sports since that began, which is also 25 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So the early days of Sky Sports News, the very first morning of Sky Sports News in 1998. So, yeah, it was incredible. And I just look back to how nervous I was then, and it was ridiculous because we were broadcasting to the building. You couldn't actually get the program out or get the channel outside, and they didn't even. I don't think they even made the dishes in time to be able to watch it. So, look, it was, I just look back to the nerves then, but I think that's going to be nothing compared to the first night on Match of the Day.
It's going to be a big moment. Broadcasting wasn't always in your plan, was it? Particularly when you're at university.
No, I did a maths degree. I didn't finish a maths degree, but I was studying maths at university, and that was kind of where my thoughts were going. And then they were launching this brand new channel, and I was like, oh, I think I'd rather go and work in football than I would in wherever it was I was going to end up. So I thought, well, I'll go down and I'll have the interview and I'll see how it will go. And then whatever it is, 26, 7 years later, I've kind of stuck with it. I always said I'd go back and finish the degree, but that's not quite happened.
There's still time. There's still time.
Yeah. Well, I'm helping my daughter with her maths GCSE mocks at the moment, and I'm not sure it's still there.
Oh, really? It's not in the head. And that was in University of Glasgow. You must have had a plan if you went in to do a degree in mathematics.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't think I've thought much beyond kind of, well, I'll maybe go and work in finance, maybe go and do something in the city, maybe go and do something. But I don't think I'd thought much further ahead than that, to be honest. It was just a kind of vague idea of get to the end of this and see where it takes me. And then, of course, I never got to the end, so that I didn't have to make the decision.
I mean, just as well you didn't. You ended up in a lovely job.
I know, I
Yes.
know. But I still think if it was one of my daughters, I'd be like that. No, stay and finish your degree. For
Exactly.
God's sake, don't go into telly.
Football, like Gabby Logan, it's in your DNA, coming as you do from a household of football. Kenny Dalglish, very well known and beloved of Irish people. What are your memories of his heyday growing up with, you know, this Liverpool legend as your dad?
Yeah, it's quite strange because I don't think that's how I ever thought of him. That was never kind of, it certainly wasn't who he was in the house. It's certainly not who he was at home. But yeah, I would go to the games and I would, you know, see the way that the crowd were at Anfield and how people reacted to him. But we didn't really have a lot of that in day-to-day life. So yeah, I was aware of it, but I was aware of it and about as interested in it as people are in their parents' job, which is to say, not very much at all. I was like, that's what he does. He goes to work, and this is how it is. And I think also I was at school with the same. Changed school when I was about 9, so I was at school with the same girls from about 9 years onwards. So they weren't particularly bothered either. You know, it kind of got a bit old for them as well. So it didn't really play into my everyday life.
Does it affect your identity? Because originally you're from Glasgow, but of course you moved to Southport, is it, where your family live when Kenny's in Liverpool, and then to other places as well as he moves around.
I didn't move in the later stages. I was a bit older, so my sisters moved when he was in Newcastle and when he was back up in Glasgow. But I feel like a really weird mix. I feel like I'm Scottish, but also a bit Scouse from that air. But then I'm Southport, so I can't be properly Scouse. So I'm
Right.
kind of so I'm plastic Scouse. So I'm kind of it's really yeah. It's a really really weird mix. And then yeah, just I can't. And then obviously because of the Glasgow connection. Obviously, I've got Irish connections as well, but
Yeah.
everybody says that, and Irish people get sick of it. So
Oh,
I'm not even going to go down that road.
we don't get sick of it. We
Oh, I
don't.
don't know. I
As far
don't
as
know. I'm
we're
not going to come
concerned,
over and say,
there's an
my
Irish.
great great grandfather was in there.
As far as we're concerned, there's an Irish person presenting Match of the Day, and that's the end of the discussion.
Take that one.
You've great fun handling many of the big stars of football, among the Irish legends, of course, Roy Keane and company. You've built up a good rapport there when you have to confront him live.
Yeah, I mean, it's really they're all really lovely to work with. But I think when you spend the whole day in a studio, when you've got a couple of games on, actually you're off air more than you're on air. So you get to talk about other things
Yeah.
rather than football. So you get to know people rather than pundits.
And Roy Keane, what revelation could you have for us that he's like off air?
Oh, I don't know if it's a revelation. I don't. He talks about his family a lot. He's just a really like kind of strong family man, and he talks a lot about his wife and his kids and his grandchildren, and it's just really lovely to get that and music and other things that he's been up to. So it's lovely. You just get a much more kind of rounded picture of who people are, and I think that helps in a way to kind of try and bring out the best of them, because that's my job really, is to bring out the best in the pundits, or a big part of my job is to bring out the best in the pundits. So the more you kind of know them as people, the more easy that is to do.
I love when he showed up wearing was it a brown cardigan? Man
Oh
United
God, yeah,
Chelsea
the cardigan.
member. And you
I
couldn't help
know.
yourself giving him a nickname.
No, we were all waiting for him to get changed, and then he was like, "No, I'm going on in this," and it was like, oh, "Okay." And then my phone just message after message after message about Roy's cardigan, and then I think it was nil-nil at half time, and I thought, "Oh well, if it had been 2-2 and there'd been a sending off and a penalty and a
Yeah,
whatever,
lots
I wouldn't have
to
mentioned it." But I was like, "Oh well, do you know what? We might go in on the Cardi for a little bit."
Cardi B was the nickname you gave him.
Cardi B, that
Very
was
good.
it.
That was
Yeah.
really good. Obviously, tensions flare as well when there are contentious moments happen. You've got Jamie Carragher or Gary Neville. That must feel like you're presenting Newsnight at times.
Oh, it's great fun though, because they genuinely do care. It's not for show. I mean, they're aware that they're on air, and they're aware that they're there to kind of give their opinions. And if they've got strong opinions, then that's great. But it's all genuine. They do genuinely have those opinions, and they do genuinely care that strongly about them. But because they're very good at the kind of, you know, that idea of sort of leaving their conflict on the pitch. They're very good at kind of when the cameras are off. They're like, oh, that was good. And they quite enjoy it. They like going head to head with each other and having those discussions. So it's just lovely. There's always a really good energy in the studio when they're like that, because it just means that they're really engaged and they really care about what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's not fake. It's sincere, but it's a respected disagreement, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
You also, the first time you interviewed Alex Ferguson, you had a lovely moment with him.
Oh, I'm trying to remember.
In terms of mentioning your dad.
Yeah, that was it at the end. No, he did. I was trying to remember that. When I first interviewed him, I was thinking, oh, I wonder what he's going to be like. Because although he'd known my dad for years and years, I'd never really had anything to do with him. I'd never really met him. Yeah. And then I sort of saw him in the tunnel. I was doing some pitch side reporting, and I saw him in the tunnel for the interview, and I was thinking, what's he going to be like? What's he going to be like? And he didn't mention. I thought, well, I'm not going to mention anything, and he's not going to mention anything. But obviously nothing gets past him. So we finished the interview and he went, thanks very much. And how's Grumpy? And I was like, oh yeah, still Grumpy.
That's his nickname. He was out playing golf, I think was the response.
Oh, it must have been.
Now, since we've claimed you as the Irish Match of the Day presenter, you were you were in Dublin this week very helpfully for us, in Croke Park to be precise, for the launch of the Lidl Ladies Football National League campaign. This message of women's sport and participation, that's very important to you.
It's hugely important to me, and not least because I've got young girls myself. They're 13 and 16. So I kind of am seeing it from their perspective as well, because I think when you put the focus on elite athletes and these incredible women, I think not only do you sort of clear a pathway for young women who want to go on and do that, but you also just increase the kind of participation in sport at every level, because not everybody's going to go on and be an elite athlete. Not everybody's going to go on and be brilliant. But I see it from my girls, in that sport is just so much a part of their lives, even if it's not at a particularly high level. Like, my youngest phoned me. I was away at the Euros in the summer. Yeah. And my youngest phoned me to tell me how she'd got on in the swimming gala. And I said, you weren't in the swimming gala. I would have phoned and asked you. Why do I not know you were in a swimming gala? And I felt like the worst mother in the world. And she was like, no. She said, I wasn't meant to. She said, and then I went in this morning and they were a person short because somebody had called in sick or whatever. And she thought, oh, I'll just give it a go. And I said, how did you get on? She went, oh, I finished last in all the races, but I had a great time. I was like, well, that's fair play to you. On you go. She didn't feel kind of awkward or uncomfortable about that. She was like, I went and raced and I was playing about in the pool with my mates. So she had a great time. Mm. And I think that's really important, because I feel like when they go away, if they go away to university or wherever, then sport will be part of their lives, and they'll happily join all those kind of university sports teams at work or whatever it might be. And I think it's just a really great social thing as well, as a health thing.
Yeah, we have amazing. We're coming down with role models in Ireland, particularly in women's sport. We've boxers Kelly Harrington, Katie Taylor, and Rashida Adeleke is an athlete here who made two Olympic finals and just blown us all away. But it was surprising with the research by Lidl for the Ladies Gaelic Football Association found 43% of the intercounty players, and there's a huge participation sport in Ireland, they didn't consider themselves to be role models. So there's a barrier still to be broken, isn't there?
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting question and a really interesting sort of response from 43% of the women who were interviewed, because I think there's lots of factors that play into that. And I think one of them might just be modesty, that sense of not wanting to be kind of a bit up themselves, or kind of, you know, not wanting to put themselves on that pedestal. And I think some of it is because, especially if you're talking about younger women, they're very much in the middle of their career and they're just focused on being the best that they can be. And not everybody wants to take on this idea of standing for something more than just being the best they can be, because there's more than one way to be a role model. You know, you don't have to be a role model by talking out all the time. You don't have to be a role model by, you know, speaking out around the various issues. You can just be a role model by being the best that you can be in what you do. And I think it's maybe maybe some of the women who said that they didn't feel like a role model, maybe their definition is slightly different. Because I think when you're a woman who's doing something as impressive as these women are, then you are just by definition a role model. You're somebody that people can look up to, and you don't need to do anything more than that.
Yeah, hopefully it's just a case of, as you say, humility rather than a lack of confidence on their
part.
Yes,
I hope so. I hope so.
I couldn't let you go without asking you about the brilliant interaction you had with Cristiano Ronaldo. This is going back to 2008. He had a back heel flick goal, an incredible one.
Oh, yes.
And you had a great confrontation with him.
Yeah, well, it wasn't quite a conference, but they kind of discussed it in the studio, and they were saying, I wonder if he's meant it, or I wonder if, you know, it was deliberate or whatever. And I'd sort of come down the tunnel, so I hadn't seen it back or seen what, but even if I had, I probably would have still asked the same question. I said, Cristiano, did you mean it? And he sort of looked at me and he went, I'm sorry. And I was like, oh, because I thought he just hadn't heard me. And I was like, did you mean it? And he was like, yeah, of course I meant it. And we moved on very quickly after that. As though, don't be so ridiculous. There's nothing I do on a football pitch that I haven't meant to do.
It's just the best way to deconstruct an ego like that. Did you mean to do that?
That wasn't it. It was just the guys in the studio had been talking about it. And I thought, oh, well, that's a nice thing to pick up on. And is it kind of, you know, was it just one of those things that happened to fall nicely for you? And he was like, no, absolutely not. That's what I do. And I was like, yeah, fair enough.
He didn't mean it.
And do you know what? Anyone else, I might have questioned them again, but maybe not with someone at his skill level.
Well, look, best wishes in your new extra job as presenter on Match of the Day, believe it or not, at the very top of broadcasting, and saying that begins later this August, you said, and also to let people know the Lidl Ladies National League football begins this very weekend. So, Kelly Cates, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Lovely to talk to you.
Likewise. Take care. Bye-bye.